Good morning, everybody. Morning. I didn't quite know how to start because it's been throwing it down, then it's been sunny, then it's been throwing it down, and actually now it looks a little bit blue, which is really quite nice. Good morning to you. Good morning out the back. Is there anyone out the back? Yeah, well, good morning to you. I think there's some people out there. My name's Steve. I'll be leading the first part of this morning's worship, and then Martin, our pastor, will be coming to talk to us a little bit later. But I arrived quite early this morning, as I already alluded to, and it was throwing it down with rain, and it was really miserable. And I stood here and I actually read my verse of the day, and it talked about Isaiah 58, which talks about not just the religious acts, but actually living out our compassion and our Christian values. But I'm just pinching from verse 8 down, because it spoke to me this morning, and maybe it speaks to someone that's sitting here this morning, which is why I should be reading it. But it then says, "Your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Our Lord is always here. Our Lord is always with us, listening. If you cry out to him, he will listen. We're going to start by singing a song of bringing worship back into our heart. And as we start to worship this morning, if those words speak to you, that you need to call out to the Lord for whatever reason, then do it in this song. Call out to our Lord as we sing, coming back to the heart of worship. They're looking at me really funnily because I've now got the wrong song. What are we singing first?
I thought we might start with praise, if that's...
We're going to start with praise, if that's all right. But still, take the message. Still praise the Lord. But take in, if that verse is for you and you need to call out to the Lord, you can come bring him back to the heart of worship later. But today, for now, we'll start with praising him.
I'll praise when I'm numbered.
song talks about raising a hallelujah, and it's very un-British. But raise a hallelujah now. Think of what the Lord has done for you. In the storms, in the darkness, in the brightness, in the celebrations. Be brave. Just call out now. Brave to the Lord with your voice out loud, or just brave to the Lord in your head. But call it out. Hallelujah to the Lord. What has he done for you? What should we be thankful for? Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've just heard. Thank you for the things we haven't, but people have said to you. Thank you for picking us up when we're down. Thank you for joining us when we're high. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah to you, Lord.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your
worshipping you, it's all about you. It's why we gather here in the mornings. It's why we think of you. It's why we pray to you. It's why we read your word. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen. Please take a seat. I have a cover notices without giving a notice. Ellen first, and then Steve.
Thank you. Great, I've actually got two notices. The first one is a Sunday Club notice. Sunday Club parents, so that's children aged 3 to year 6. I'm going to give the kids a form later. It's about the nativity service. I really need to know if people are around, if their children are around. So please, please, could you fill that in and give it back to me before you leave today? Because that would really help me with trying to get that underway. Thank you. Second notice is on Friday, coming up, it is the light switch on in town. We have a Churches Together market stall. Yeah, woo, Christmas is coming. Woohoo. And we have got some helpers. Thank you so much if you're one of the people who's able to come and help in the day. We're really looking for a couple more people to help in the evening. It's a sort of between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. I mean, you haven't got to do all of that session, an hour, even half an hour. If you're around in the evening and you would fancy coming and helping at the stall, it's a case of chatting to people, handing out some leaflets, invites to the carol service, the Christingle, that sort of thing. Then please could you talk to me or John Ingray or Adele. Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Tomorrow, I'm going to do something a little bit silly or daft, as you may or may not know. So, you may think that's normal for me. But anyway, so tomorrow night, I'm going to be joining about 50 different people, and I'm going to be sleeping out in London on the streets. And the reason we're trying to do that is kind of based on everything that we've just been singing about, which is bringing the heart of God into the real world. And we're trying to do this, we're trying to raise awareness for homelessness. There are 350,000 people homeless today in England.
Wow.
More to the point, there's 150,000 children homeless today. So tomorrow, we're trying to, we're sleeping out about 50 business people near the Lord's cricket ground. We only have to suffer one night. We only have to suffer one night. Everybody that we're kind of working with are suffering every night. So we're trying to raise awareness. We're trying to raise money also for activities, whether it be soup kitchens, whether it be sleeping arrangements, whether it be for helping education, for bringing people out of poverty into mainstream community. That's what we're trying to do. So if you're interested, please come and see me afterwards. But if you want to pray for something, let's pray for tomorrow night. A, be a bit dry, if you could help. And my thermals are working okay. But secondly, just let opportunities happen for tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. There are certain times in life where something happens that brings things into a sharp focus. That's one of them. 150,000 children. That's astonishing fact. I was not aware. Martin is coming to talk to us a little bit about remaining in Christ and bringing fruitfulness, and I'm going to pick something up about that in a minute. But first, we've got a reading which is from John 15, verse 1 to 17.
Yes, John 15, verses 1 to 17 in the version Church Bible I've got is page 1083. And it's entitled, The Vine and the Branches. And these are Jesus' words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that so you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thank you. So trying to pick up on a little bit of that, and I need two things. I need a bit of poetic license, please. And I also need a bit of creative license as well. I need as many children as would like to come out, any age, to do something. Out you come, as many as you like, or as few as you like. Children out the back, if you want to come out here, if you're in the back room, or I've set the same activity out there for you, you can do it out there if you wish to. Any more? Can if you want, doesn't matter, it's not difficult, it's not embarrassing, it's just a bit of fun. Right, so I'm going to split you guys into two half. Any more? Yeah, lovely, coming. Whatever. So we're going to go about there. Yeah, still coming, that's fine. We can just join on. So one half, could you go across there for me? Could you go across that side? You coming as well? Yeah, just stay here. Well done. And what do we got about there? Now, all you have to do, you're in this half. Come in this half over here. Are you going to join on with this group here? Yeah, I'll help you in a minute. All you've got to do is hold hands in a minute. Not yet. All you've got to do is hold hands. Everyone out there, if you could just look in the chair in front of you where the Bibles are. Some of you, it's quite well hidden because I didn't want the children finding it. You'll find some bean bags. But they're not bean bags. This is where I need creative license. I've got apples. Apples. I've got bananas. I've got grapes. Or they could be green apples, it really doesn't matter. Blueberries? We'll go for blueberries. So wave me if you've got, I need lots of people to have their fruits. They're all under here. Come on, don't be shy. I'm not gonna make you embarrassed to do anything, but you need to have a look, otherwise this is gonna be really short and really rubbish. But there's lots down here. Look in front, just wave if you've got a beanbag for me. Lovely, if you don't wanna do anything with a beanbag, quickly pass it to someone else. And nominate them to do it, but it's not difficult. Okay, now this team, all you have to do, Martin later is talking about remaining Christ and being fruitful and actually staying with and in Christ. So my team leader at the front, because you're the tallest, and I genuinely didn't think you'd mind. Okay. Excellent. I've got to do the same logic here. Why does it always turn out to be brother against sister? Okay, so my team leader, all you've got to do, oh, we switched. Okay, we switched team leaders. We switched. No, we're sticking there. So just join hands so that you're all joined up with in one long line. So join hands. Are you gonna? Are we coming or are we not coming? Okay, so all you have to do is to go around the room picking up fruit. So if you've got a piece of fruit in your hand, you have to give the piece of fruit to this vine that's going to come round the room. But the only thing is, you can't use your hands. So you have to place the fruit somewhere carefully on the vine so that it doesn't fall off. You have to stay together. You cannot split apart. because the theme is that you stay with Christ, so that you stay on the vine. So if you gently just wiggle your way up there, if you've got a piece of fruit in the middle, pass it to the sides. This way, if you wiggle up there, are we coming, Mum? Mum, are we coming? Are you coming with me? You're not coming. No, we're coming with Mum. No, we're definitely not coming with me. So you've got to balance it somewhere. Oh, ingenious. Look under your chairs. If there's a few more, there should be about 16 somewhere. Loop yourself round. See if you can get them all on you. Wave your piece of fruit if you've got one. Oh, there's still a piece of fruit here. Ellen. There's a couple more pieces of fruit back row. Oh, not even close. There's still a couple of pieces of fruit. There's still a couple of pieces of fruit. Gareth. There's still a piece of fruit over the back. Wave your piece of fruit if you've got one. Oh, if you are. Okay. There's a piece of fruit there. There's a piece of fruit there. No, you're not having them. Back row, are you ready? This could go wrong. Back row. They're young. There's a piece of fruit there. Look, Gareth's got a piece of fruit. There's a piece of fruit there. There's definitely a piece of fruit just hanging around. Do you like blueberries? Oh, well. Still there. Look. There's one over there. There's one right in that corner. There's a blueberry here. Can you loop round for a blueberry? Stay connected, remember. Stay connected. The vine must stay connected. Yay! Excellent. Keep coming, Enid. No. They're the other group. That's cheating. You can't take. They're the other group. They're the other group. They're the overflow group. Well done.
That was mine. That was mine.
Oh, there's always controversy. Right, bring your vines back to the front. This vine, stay there. You stay this side now. No, not yet. I need to judge it yet. Okay, vine. This vine, come this way. Come this way a little bit. Well done. Stay there. Right, so. You know when you explain rules and people always just push the boundaries a little bit? I did say hands, didn't I?
Yes.
Clearly I meant the whole arm. But I did say hands, so I have to go with hands. We've got 1, 2, 3. How did it get in your pocket? 4, 5. Oh, ingenious, in the hoodie. I've lost count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
There's two in there.
7. 8.
Oh, 9.
I think I'm holding it.
10. Is there just one in there? 10.
Yeah.
10. I'm going to put that on your head for safekeeping. 10. 11. 12. Yeah, 13. 14. Well done. So 14, we've got one in your pocket. They weren't there a minute ago, were they? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 4, 5. You'd think I'd be good at counting, wouldn't you? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Have we got any more?
No.
Okay, so it's been quite close. But we do have a winning team. Give them a round of applause. Well done, thank you. Dump them all back on the ground. Not on your brother, on the ground. Thank you. Give them a round of applause as they go and sit back down. Thank you. Wherever the back group got, thank you very much, the back group, they disappeared at some point. Did they go back? Okay, thank you very much. But I think my point is staying together, and I think that's what Martin's going to talk to and preach about a little bit later. You know, thinking about the fruit and how we, if we stay together as Christians, and actually show our Christian values, a bit like we talked about at the beginning, a bit like the song that eventually came when in the series, and they had told me they were switching it was my fault, not theirs. But that's the kind of theme that as Christians, showing our Christian values and allowing God to prune the vines as he goes is actually a really important part of our faith. We're going to move into a quiet reflection point now, where I just want you to spend a little bit of time with the Lord. I want you to spend a bit of time thinking about what you might have heard this morning, what might be coming later. There'll be some quiet music just going on in the background. Then we'll move into another set of two songs, and children will go out at the end of the second song. Please, can it be right at the end of the second song so that people in the overflow get an opportunity to finish their worship and move in here before the children go out? So just spend a bit of time now thinking about what we've talked about this morning. Thinking about the Bible verse being in living out our Christian values. Being faithful to our Christian values. And singing hallelujah for what the Lord has done for us. So just a couple of peaceful minutes now before we move into another set of worship songs. Thank you, Lord, for all we have in this world. Thank you for the roofs over our heads. Thank you for what little money we have. Thank you for what you have provided. Lord, I pray now for each one of the 300 or 350,000 people that are homeless on our streets in 2025. And in particular, Lord, 150,000 children. I know you know each and every one, Lord, and I pray you're with them. I pray for Steve and the group that are going out to sleep tomorrow, that their work would shine a light on this issue, tragedy, of all these people without roofs over their heads, Lord. In your mighty name, Lord. Amen. Please stand and join me as we sing two more worship songs before the children leave at the end of the second.
Yeah.
goodness will lead us home. As our young people leave now, just find one. Look at them. Pray for them. So young people, out you go. Just give thanks for them. Give thanks for their leaders that are looking after them.
Thank you, Steve. That was one of the most inspirational descriptions of a vine that I think I've ever seen. Wasn't that great, just the way you did that? It's really, really clever. Yeah, give me a round of applause. So, as we know already, we're in John 15 this morning, and it's another one of Jesus's bold statements about his identity. And not only does he make that statement about who he is, but he follows it up by outlining what that means for you and for me. And once again, it's vital that we understand what he's saying in order to live our lives the way they were designed to be lived. A little bit of context, first of all. This passage is part of the Maundy Thursday Passover night narrative, where Jesus has been spending the evening with his disciples, sharing the Last Supper, telling them about some of the things that are going to happen. And it happens on the way from the upper room where they shared that meal to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would be betrayed and arrested. So it's not Jesus talking to a massive crowd. It's Jesus talking to the remaining 11 disciples. This is quite an intimate, personal setting. And it's so often the case, he's teaching them using things that they can see around them. As they're walking from that upper room towards Gethsemane, they go through a vineyard. And he says this, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So let's start again with who Jesus says he is. I am. I am. Once again, he's saying that he is God, using the name of God from the Old Testament. When God met Moses, Moses said, "Who shall I tell the people of Israel is sending me?" And he said, "I am who I am." If you want to get a bit fancy with the Greek, it's ego eimi. Ooh. Don't know what Amy's got to do with anything, but yes. Anyway, yes. So Jesus is saying, "I am Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty." And just remember again, what a shock that would be to people hearing that. What an insult that would feel like to the very religious people of the day, who thought they'd got it all sorted out and decided that he was obviously a blasphemer because he was saying, "I am God." And as God, Jesus goes on to say, "I am the true vine." Now, a lot of us in here will have read this passage quite a few times, but I wonder if you've ever noticed the emphasis on the word "true." If he's talking about himself being the true vine, that would seem to indicate that there's a false vine somewhere. So what was the false vine? Put simply, the nation of Israel was the false vine. They'd been described in the Old Testament as God's vine. They'd been called to bring God's promises and blessings to the world. But Israel had lost her way. She'd become corrupted and polluted by sin, by mixing with other nations, adopting their religious practices, worshipping their gods and their idols, turning away from I am. So Jesus says, compared to Israel and all its laws and its practices and religiosity, I am the true vine. If you want to know the blessings that God promises, if you want to know the forgiveness that God offers, if you want to know the joy of being accepted as a son or daughter of the living God, Jesus is saying the only way you can do that is by connecting with him. Not by following any religious practices, not by sticking to however many hundred laws there might have been at the time, but by connecting with him, by having a relationship with him. If that was true then, it's even more true, if possible, today, because we have lots more false vines today, don't we? They seem to have spread their seed. They seem to have developed other ways of luring people in and trying to convince people to connect with them. So many philosophies, ways of life, self-help teachings, beliefs, religions, laws, habits, possessions, money, all these things, we could say today, they may be attractive and they may be enticing and they may offer a lot, but they simply serve to take us away from Jesus, the only true vine. And the fruit they produce, while it might look attractive to us, if we're to taste it, it's bitter. It's sour. It's not good for us. And once again, Jesus is not afraid to make an exclusive claim about himself. You know, we're not allowed to be exclusive these days, are we? We need to be, what's the word? Inclusive, that's it. But the problem is the definitions get themselves get muddled up and mixed up and we lose sense of what they are. But Jesus is not afraid to make this exclusive claim about himself, this exclusive claim that says, I am God, and I am God, the true vine, and the only way you can know God, says Jesus, is through a relationship with me. That's pretty exclusive. In John chapter 14, he puts it another way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sorry, I am the way, not a way. The truth, not any particular truth, but the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus was a kind of an exclusive guy when it came to talking about the important things of life, to death, life, death, and the universe. Because it's so important that we hear the truth. In January and February, we're going to be doing a little look at one of the phrases of Jesus where he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Because the truth does set you free. The truth leads you to the blessings and love of God. And we are confronted with so many truths with quotation marks. We need to be aware of what the truth is. And once we know who Jesus is, once we know that he is God the vine, exclusive, accept no alternatives. You know, if you think it's bad getting co-op's version of Coca-Cola or Pepsi instead of the real thing, this is way, way worse. Accept no alternatives. Only connect with Jesus. And in order to make the most of our lives and to grow our relationship with him, Jesus tells us what we're to do. And if you go back to one of the older translations of the Bible, you will find the word abide. Jesus says, I am the vine, abide in me. Now, most of the time, I think in our lives, the only time we might ever hear that word abide is at the cup final at Wembley. Because that's the cup final hymn, because the king, going back a few generations, liked the song and decided he wanted to get people to sing it at the cup. It's got nothing to do with football. It's really weird why it's there, but everybody stands and they sing it. And that's about the only time these days you will hear the word abide. But it's quite a rich word, because it means dwell. It means make your home in. It means find your security, your comfort, your purpose in. Jesus says, abide in me. The word that we've got in the NIV doesn't quite go that deep, but it does say, remain. Jesus says, remain in me. Now, I know these days remain's a bit of a loaded word. So this has nothing to do with Brexit. It's about remaining, it's about staying, it's about dwelling in Jesus. What some of the wise old ones would call practicing the presence of God, making sure that we are connected. And he makes it clearer in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Even if you've never tried your hand at gardening or growing things, you will know this to be true, that a branch, in order to bear fruit, has to be firmly connected to the vine. Everybody, that's just a basic fact. Whether it's a branch of an apple tree, or an orange tree, or a coconut tree, or any kind of tree, a tomato tree. Oops. Or a vine. For a branch to bear fruit, it has to be strongly attached to the vine, because it's through the vine itself that the branch receives the life and the nourishment that it needs. And if the branch gets broken, or if the branch separates from the vine, it stops bearing fruit. It withers and it dies and it's no use for anything. And so Jesus is saying that if we want to live life to the full, if we want to make our lives count, if we want to bear fruit in life, our call is to remain attached to the vine and live life the Jesus way. Anything else, it's simply blowing in the wind. Oh, hang on, there's another word for that, isn't it? It's religion, that's it. Religion is the man-made construct where we try to do what we think God wants us to do. Jesus did not come to start a new religion. Jesus came to offer us relationship, closeness, intimacy. And when we're attached to Jesus, when we're close to him, we can live a life that bears fruit. So that's who he is in this passage. And that's the call then for those of us who want to live that kind of meaningful, purposeful life. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stay connected to him. Now, in the past, lots of people have just stopped there and said, right, now let's move on to our next song or whatever. And you're thinking, well, what does it mean to abide in him? What does it mean to stay, to remain in Jesus? Give me some help here. So I'm really glad you said that, because that's what I'm going to do. Several times in this passage, and Gordon really brought it out when he was reading it. I hadn't connected on this before, so thank you, Gordon, for this. But as Gordon was reading it, he really emphasized a particular word. And that word was if. If you remain in me. I can't remember how many times, but it really kind of stuck in here. So we have a status as Christians. If you put your faith in Jesus, your status is you are a clean branch of the vine. You are connected to the vine. But our reality and our responsibility is to play our part in staying connected. So we have a status as part of the vine, but we have a responsibility to watch our own lives. Has it gone off? Oh dear. To watch over our own lives and to make sure that we're as closely connected to the vine as we possibly can be. How do we do that? First thing we do is we recognise his love for us and we respond to his love by doing all that we can to spend time with him, to listen to his word, and to be friends with Jesus, to build a relationship. We don't build a relationship with someone without talking to them, without listening to them, without spending time with them, without getting to know them. So we have a responsibility to maintain a prayer life. Ooh, on comes the guilt straight away. My prayer life's rubbish. That was a confession, by the way. It wasn't a general statement. My prayer life's rubbish. I really struggle with my prayer life because it's so important in maintaining a close relationship with Jesus. So there's somebody who doesn't want me to have a close relationship with Jesus, who is constantly distracting me, constantly disturbing me, and constantly taking my mind away. And it's a real discipline. It's a spiritual discipline, prayer. And you can find lots of books on that, about the discipline of prayer. And it's a discipline because it's not easy. It should be the most natural thing in the world, but it's not easy because we are sinful human beings and the devil does not want us to get a close relationship with Jesus. But part of our responsibility and our reality of staying close to the vine is to work at our prayer life, build up a discipline of prayer. And you know, somebody once said that that the devil trembles when the weakest Christian falls to their knees in prayer. See, you don't have to be a professional prayer. You just have to know that even your poorest in your mind, weakest in your mind prayer makes the devil tremble. And that's a good place to start, because that's quite encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, I'm not sure.
Thank you.
If you say it is, Pastor, but I don't know.
So if you're starting from a point of advantage and power, we need to remember that so that when we come to our prayer, we remember that our prayers make a difference. Whether it's our prayer for our next door neighbour or for those 300,000 people who are homeless or for peace in the Middle East or for peace in Ukraine or sensibility in governments, I know that's stretching it a little bit, but God does say that our prayers make a difference. Just think, it could be so much worse if we weren't praying into those things. Secondly, make sure we study his word. Read it. Think about it. Question it. Ask people who have studied it in preparation for things like, I don't know ministry, what it means, if you don't know what it means. And don't be afraid to ask any question about something if you're confused about it. If you are, somebody else probably is as well. So we study it, we learn to understand it, we ask God to give us the wisdom that we need. But that's just one stage, because we need to apply it into our lives. Because God's word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. And so our responsibility is not just to read it and to understand it, because that's just knowledge. That's head knowledge. We're after wisdom. And wisdom is applying what we know about God into our lives. letting it settle in our hearts and change us from the inside out. So maintain a prayer life, study and apply his word. This is possibly a controversial one in this day and age. Make sure we are regularly in community with other believers. Some people have said, you know, don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't have to go to McDonald's to be a hamburger either. That's just a ridiculous comment. We were designed for community because God himself is community, and Jesus created the church as a community, as a family, where believers could come together and encourage one another and build one another up and grow in our faith together. And it's great because one Sunday you might come, you really don't want to come to church, but you drag yourself along and you see what's going on around you, and it lifts your spirit. And it encourages you in your faith. You might have a conversation with someone that is really just inspirational. It does happen, I know, occasionally. And that just builds your spirit, because we need that community of other believers. Otherwise, we're like the coal that falls out of the fire and goes cold. Be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit is another counselor like Jesus. He's the Spirit of Jesus. He comes to bring Jesus into us and to grow Jesus in us, helping us to bear fruit that lasts. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need the Holy Spirit to enable those things to grow in our lives. If you prefer, it's setting the goal of our life to know Jesus and make him known. To do what it says on the tin or on the wall over there. Here's a quote from R.C. Sproul I've found helpful. He says, the degree of your fruitfulness as a Christian will be directly proportionate to how close you stay to Christ, to how much you feed on his word, and how intimate your relationship is to him. If you're barely attached, your fruit will be barely productive. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, remember, right back, verse 3. We are already clean if we belong to Jesus. So we're not looking to bear fruit to get ourselves clean. We're not looking to bear fruit to get ourselves attached to the vine. We're not looking to bear fruit to get Jesus to love us, because that's already happened. He already loves us. We're already clean if we put our faith in him. If you're a Christian this morning, you are clean because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. There's a little amen over there somewhere. That was really good. Thank you. We bear fruit because we are clean. We bear fruit because we are attached. And we bear fruit because we are loved. And if you don't remember anything else this morning, I want you to remember that. If you're a Christian, you are clean. That's your status. You are attached. And you are loved. But in order to bear the best fruit, occasionally, we need a bit of pruning. Just as every plant needs pruning in order to maintain both its health and productivity. This pruning can happen in several ways. God may speak to us directly about an area of our life that needs some attention. A habit, maybe, an attitude, a behaviour or wrong belief. And when he does, when he speaks to us, because we want to remain in the vine and we recognize we have the responsibility on our part to stay connected, we'll seek to hear and understand what he's saying and then obey that. Even when it's, I want you to stop doing whatever it is that you find fun or your guilty pleasure or whatever you want to call it. Because actually it's not good for you. That's why it's a guilty pleasure. I want you to stop doing that and start doing this. And what God takes away, he replaces with something so much better, with a deeper connection to the vine. Verse 10 tells us that a big part of remaining in the vine is obeying the commands of Jesus. In John 15, later on, and in other parts of this passage, Jesus talks about, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So one way to know that you're in the vine, are you obeying Jesus' commands in your life? What's he saying to you to do? Are you fighting him over something that he's asking you to do? Sometimes God can and will use life events, an illness, a relationship breakdown, the start of a relationship, loss of job, new job, for example, to draw our attention to something that needs to be pruned. This can be painful. Let's just get it out there. Pruning can hurt. But it's taking away something bad for us in order that we can grow more like Jesus, which is good for us. I know you've been waiting for a Tom Wright quote, because we didn't have one last week. So here it comes. Drum roll. The vine dresser, gardener, is never closer to the vine, taking more thought over its long-term health and productivity than when he has the knife in his hand, when he has the secateurs in his hand. I wonder if you've ever thought about that before, when you're having a really rough time and things are really hard. Could it be then that God is at his closest to you because he is trying to prune you in order to make you more like Jesus? People tend to run away from God when things get hard, or they tend to blame him for them. But how about recognizing, like it says in Isaiah, that when we pass through the waters, we will not be overwhelmed. When we go through the fire, we will not be burnt, because he is with us and he will lead us through it and he will partner us through it. Pruning may be hard, but it leads to the best quality of fruit. If we don't prune our plants, they grow wild. If you don't prune your roses, you get poorer quality roses, apparently. Obviously someone here who doesn't prune roses, that's me, and things like that, because it needs that pruning to enable it to grow. So Jesus says, I am Jehovah, the vine. I am the true vine. There is no other way to get to know God apart from through Jesus. And he tells us that our status is clean in him. But he also challenges us to do everything we can to remain in him. And that whole passage finishes off with the greatest command that Jesus can give any of us: to love one another. Sometimes it's hard to love one another, for whatever reason. But that's the command Jesus leaves us with. So to remain in the vine, to bear fruit, we need to look at our lives and talk about, how loving am I to other believers? How loving am I to other people? How close are we today to the source of our life? How close are we to the source of our vitality and our fruitfulness? What is God saying to each of us today about our connection to Jesus? Are we firmly connected, or is there a little bit of a split, or are we hanging on by a little bit of connection? And what can we do about that? How can we make ourselves better connected? We're saved to bear fruit. We're saved to do good works that glorify Christ and build his kingdom. But to be effective, we are to remain in the vine, because our life, growth, and fruitfulness depend completely and utterly on just one thing: our connection to Jesus. An outward profession of faith, coming to church, is not enough. It needs to be backed up by a lifestyle of obedience, loving others as Christ has loved us, and knowing that in his economy, a successful life is a fruitful life. And for our lives to be successful, we need to allow him freedom to live and to reign in us. That's why Paul so often says, yet not I, but through Christ in me. It's the power of Christ in me because of my connection to the vine that makes the difference. And contrary to what James Bond tried to tell us, we only live once. So let's make it count. By abiding, by remaining in the vine. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for making it clear to us who you are and for what we need. Lord, today as we've heard your word, as we've been open to your spirit, we ask that you would work in us to help us strengthen our connection to you in whatever way you want us to do that. It might be being more disciplined in prayer or reading your word. It might be in being more loving to other people. It might be something else completely. But Lord, would you speak to our hearts, not just to our minds, and help us to grow closer to you through obeying what you say. Lord, if we need to make confession, we need to repent of wrong behaviours or attitudes, please give us the strength to do that so that we can open up every possible way in our lives for you to work. You are the vine. We are the branches. Keep us abiding in you, we pray. Amen. Just before we sing our final song, as usual, there will be people at the front to pray with you. If you feel that God has challenged you or put something on your heart this morning, please do ask for prayer. Please don't go without doing that business with God. But if you've come with someone you know is a Christian, you can just turn to them and ask them to pray for you and with you as well. That would be really, really good. After the service, we have our normal tea and coffee, but we also have our newcomer's lunch today, so we've got a few people booked up for that. But if today is your first visit here, you are welcome to join us at newcomer's lunch as well. We believe in someone who can feed lots of people with not a lot of food. Knowing Margaret, she's probably prepared far too much anyway. So there is some left. So if you are here for the first time today, you're very welcome to join us for our newcomer's lunch, just to find out a bit more about the church and the people who work in it and stuff like that. I really struggled over a last song today, and I've ended up choosing the same one that we finished with last week, because it sums up perfectly, I think, what we've been thinking about last week and this week. Yet not I, but Christ in me.
not I, but through Christ in me. I pray this week as you go about your business, about your lives, that we keep Christ at the centre. Not I, but through Christ in me. Amen. Thank you ever so much. That's the end of our service today. If you want to join us for tea and coffee or prayer corner, have a prayer corner here, please do so. Have a lovely week, everyone.